DJ Flav countdown. Ready? Let's begin. 28, 27, 26, 25, 24.
Oh yes, oh hello, it's Exit 3 on the road to Shambhala, and you are traveling aboard the funk vehicle, my friends. So tell me this, when you combine dungeons with dragons, do you get Dungeons and Dragons, or do you get four idiots in a room with two microphones? The answer, this hour. Have you ever sipped on Ferro sauce? Do you know what that tastes like? Do you want to find out? I would recommend keeping it tuned here. Certain events have developed in Philadelphia which are not too wonderful. But it's okay, because right here on the road to Shambhala,
the flood never stopped.
It just keeps on. So keep on listening, because we're glad you're here.
Okay. All right, so Vital Topics begins now. We have convened once again our panel of distinguished experts. To my left, a returning challenger, Mr. Mark Angelillo. Good evening to you, sir.
Hello.
In reference to a previous email this week, yes, you can borrow several of my helicopters.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. I'm actually not going to participate on the panel tonight. I'm going to be too busy flying in a helicopter. You hear that?
Oh, there goes Mark.
Someone's knocking on your helicopter.
There goes Mark. We've lost him. To Mark's left, a new challenger.
Hello there.
Mr. Ben Mastin.
Forward strong punch.
Now, what podcast listeners don't know yet is that Ben has actually already been a guest on the program.
Yes, but we were cut because it was bad.
It was too boring.
Yeah, which is...
For this show?
That'd be pretty boring.
Zing! Heyo!
And SmackDown we're off. Comes Count. From esteemed co-host of this segment, Garrett Hall.
Howdy.
So,
wow, you're a co-host? That's you're ragging on your own product.
Titles are cheap.
And they are on this show.
Hello!
Heyo!
Hey.
Don't talk about my show that way. Don't I talk about my show that way.
It's tough love.
Yeah. Gotta bring Mark back down from the stratosphere anyway.
Well, here we go.
Hey guys, I forgot my keys.
Oh man. So Mark has just come back through the window. Having emerged.
It's a big window.
So I'm sure you guys are wondering why you're here.
Yep.
also how I got here.
More so every minute.
So the reason that we've brought you in to be on the Vital Topics panel today is that it's come to our attention that you are about to start playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, two of us are.
Right. Garrett and I have not been invited.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what I would like to say is... sorry to blow up your spot, but you guys are both 27 and 28.
Yeah, it's been said.
You're about to start playing D&D.
Correct.
Defend your adulthood.
I can't. It's not there. Okay, so can I field this for a sec?
Sure. Oh,
okay, I'm going to defend my thesis for just a minute. This is my girlfriend's fault. And I have one.
Real mature.
Yeah.
Blame it on your imaginary girl.
No, she's totally real. She's completely real.
She's just in Canada.
No, she's actually, she's in Astoria. Anyway, so, okay, I have a girlfriend who I've been with for a while at this point, over a year, and she, I think, narrowly missed being a very enormous geek in high school. Because, like, she knew, like, uncool kids, but, like, not those kinds of uncool kids.
Now she knows
uncool. Now she knows those. Now she's made up for the difference. But, like, you know, but I got her, like, reading comic books and stuff. And, you know, like, I was like, I haven't played myself until, like, we started discussing it recently. Like, I haven't played D&D in probably, I did the math the other day, like, 12 or 13 years. I can't remember exactly when I stopped.
Now, very quickly, can we infer from what you're saying here that your theory of dating is mind control?
Yeah. Yes. Well, hold on. No, so what happened is, like, we're sitting in my apartment one night, and I forget what we were talking about, but she, at one point, turns to me and was like, so what's D&D like?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, my God,
she
it was awesome.
She is
going
to live to regret that question.
She might, but here's the thing. At this very moment, she is trying to decide whether she wants to be a half-elf cleric or an elf mage. So, there you go.
Watch your mouth.
So, listeners, if you notice, in response to the question, why are you doing this, Ben said, no, check it out, my girlfriend's into it, but did not explain why he's doing it.
Oh, I'm doing it.
No,
because,
no, you had your chance.
Well, fine, okay.
Mark.
That was Mark's turn.
Okay, that's good. I actually don't have any defense of myself. I actually don't need to explain myself to anyone.
Now there is some honesty.
Nor do I ever want to. So, there. But ultimately, yeah. I've never played D&D, and I kind of think it'd be fun. And it's a great way to stay in shape, so.
That's, well, wrong. that's untrue.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, if you eat that many Cheetos, you're bound to lose weight. Yeah. I mean, all of that, like, pumping cheese. And
sure. Is it true that it's having a severe impact on both your lives? Mark, you've quit playing World of Warcraft to play Dungeons & Dragons. And Ben, you just quit your job today?
I quit my job is over, yes. It's completely unrelated to D&D.
I'm not sure.
Again,
that's true.
Defend your adulthood.
Mark, you were playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah. I've been quite a World of Warcraft player for a couple of stints there in my life.
Now, so what is it about Dungeons & Dragons that is making you be like, all right, I'm going to leave the World of Warcraft behind for now and go into this? Or is Dungeons & Dragons not the catalyst for that decision?
Yeah, totally unrelated. World of Warcraft sort of lost my interest again. I mean, I've spent...
Yeah, just like my job did. So,
I mean, I think I can count the number of hours I've spent on World of Warcraft in days, so...
Well, also, actually, World of Warcraft can count them for you, can't it?
In fact, it does.
Yeah.
Very effectively.
You have to pay to disable that, right? Yeah. Yes. I don't want to know. I have $20.
I also pay my friends to be snarky about it, but, you know.
So, is Dungeons & Dragons something that you guys both did when you were younger? What's the origin story for both of you here?
Well, Mark, you already said you never did it, right?
Nope.
Which I'm surprised to hear, actually. Quite honestly. Don't take this the wrong way, but like, I'm sort of amazed that you never played D&D when you were a kid.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was too busy beating people up in real life.
And excelling in organized sports. Yeah.
I mean, no kidding. Like, that parachute thing in gym class, I was awesome. Yeah,
that's the most organized.
So whence comes the interest, then? Is it a extension of your interest in World of Warcraft, or...?
I just think it's like a good way to be creative. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I do a lot of creative things, and this podcast, I guess, I'm fortunate enough to be involved in, at least in part, and it's a creative thing. I build a video game that's sort of geeky in its bent itself, and mm-hmm. I'm a fucking geek. Can I say that on the on the radio?
Yeah, apparently this podcast is filled with explicit sexual content.
Fun fact about the Road to Shambhala. We were going finally to have a girl on Vital Topics tonight, but it didn't work out.
It was vetoed by the board.
Yeah.
the second they heard what we were talking about, probably.
Well, no. What actually happened is that she tried to listen to it at work. I mean, what actually happened is that it was a scheduling conflict, but...
boring!
But the funner story is that she tried to listen to it at work, and whatever settings her IT department has... But so she tried to listen to the show, and some pop-up came up that said, this website has been blocked due to sexually explicit content.
Well, maybe it's just all of iTunes. Maybe all of iTunes is just too... Corn-tacular for...
Thanks, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, it's her fault.
Maybe it is Lady Gaga's fault.
You should get her on this show.
No, I have...
She was actually the one that Sam was referring to.
Oh, yeah.
She works in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. We were actually thanking her. Yeah, okay, all right.
You think I'd rather be sitting here talking to you when I could have Lady Gaga?
I like to think I'm personable. Anyway, all right. Where were we?
But so it's you're just interested because it's creative... you get to spend more time with Ben.
You're putting words in my mouth.
Come on, who doesn't like that?
Yeah,
I like to think I'm personable.
I think it'll be a creative, fun thing to do. You know, we'll spend a night on it every couple weeks. And, man, I drink a lot. Hopefully I'll drink less that night.
Yeah, I'm actually saving your life.
I was going to ask, as Dungeon Master, what's your price? If someone wanted to slip you some cash to make the dice rolls.
Oh, yeah, it'd be like, yeah, you rolled a 20. Yeah. What, in gold or in real money?
I mean, whatever you prefer.
Yeah, it depends on the context. I think I have to be... I have to not be for sale. That's the problem.
If I were Dungeon Master, it would be under $5.
Very low. Extraordinarily low.
So, I want to play with Mark as Dungeon Master.
Yeah. Alan, Megan, and
Alan, Megan,
Aaron,
Mark,
if
and
you're
Aaron.
Listening, you should try to have Mark stage a coup.
Yeah. Is that possible? Is anyone ever...
Is it possible? Nope, I am now the invisible hand of God. Yeah.
So, Garrett.
Yes.
You, I assume, have never played Dungeons & Dragons.
I have not. However, I've played Elder Scrolls Oblivion, which might actually be worse.
It's absolutely worse.
Because it's like Dungeons & Dragons without the sociality.
Yeah, like without ever interacting with another person. You can totally avoid it if you want.
Well, so let's get to that in a second. But what did you ever, like, have the opportunity? Because I will go ahead and admit that I was invited to join a game once when I was 12. But I was like, what? You guys are going to sit in a room and pretend there's dragons? I'm going to go over here and make out with 20 chicks.
How'd that work out?
Well, I went home and read comics, actually.
Oh, nice.
But I pretended that I was making out with the female heroines of the comics. Anyway, this isn't about me.
Yes, it is.
But I was like, I don't know, that, like, I had this weird knee-jerk reaction to it, which I feel like, in retrospect, because, I mean, I have the same curiosity about it, like Mark was saying, it seems very creative. Did you ever have the opportunity?
No, I was actually so uncool that even the kids who are playing Dungeons & Dragons would exclude me from that.
That is a low watermark.
I know. That is like, tough. I was like, please, please, I have a magic card, and that didn't sway them.
Oh.
I cheated at magic, by the way, but that's another story. So.
Wait, you cheated at magic, but you won't allow people to bribe you as dungeon master?
I'm reformed, man. I'm come out. I'm clean. That I saw shit in there that you won't, that would change your mind.
What if someone got you a job?
I'm listening.
Wait, this is a question for Garrett. So would you say that you could text a magic user and ask them when you could tap that?
You could text that to anyone, and it will get results.
So that's a fact.
Incredibly specific.
No one disputed that.
Yeah, incredibly specific magic joke there, by the way, from Mark.
All right, that's Vital Topics this week.
Really? That, wow.
Our panelists were Mark Angelillo, returning.
Hello.
Are you still a car, by the way?
No, it's a helicopter.
No, I'm no longer a car. I'm a box of donuts.
He really is, guys.
Your eyes are looking a little glazed.
Oh! Up top.
There it is.
Hello.
There it is. Ben Mastin, our new challenger.
Hello.
And as always, Garrett Hall.
Peace.
Knuckles.
Got me hurting, baby's drawn the curtain on our love. I don't wanna be alone. Left me with a riddle, left me in the middle.
Would you like to sip on Pharaoh sauce? Or have you never known the flavors? Here, real quick, do yourself the favor. Neighbor, I am saying to you simply this: kiss the pitcher that pours this potency in your cup, for though the flow may be less than free, the fountain's surely fertile. This came direct from 200 Myrtle at the pace of both hares and turtles, and eventually threw its hands up and said,
"Ah, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in."
So really, if you soak the veil of illusion in sauce, what trickles through? A ticklish brew, an impish stew, mental meanderings hither and to with a maniacal crew of dithering fools? We brought our zither to the zoo and poured our sweat into a shoe for you to walk along the road in. Someone's left the blender open, and aromas of avocado, leather, bacon, and blueberries have run rampant, infecting the mind with dangerous assertions regarding breathable truth. 1 million points of light have converged inside the booth, and
they say life only grows short. I say the road only grows long.
And be it Yellow Bricks or Pink Floyd riffs, a brilliant burst of bebop licks, or the perilous dance of devil sticks, let's all match wits and weather this together, shall we? Ballyhoo the blues and sing our struggles in the galley? Climb comedically north of Sally Forth, clutching a torch in search of Walt Kelly's alley? Artfully dodging like O'Malley, leaving Brooklyn for the valley? It don't take much to smudge the line between here and Fort Mudge. So if I can heft my gathering pudge to the task, I'd like to fill your weekly flask from this cask of morning Eldorado. I mixed it with my clarinet marmalade, making jazz brew to rad dudes and righteous dames, and we hereby claim the same status as Greg Maddox on those Braves rotations at the end of last century. Show up every few days. We'll make it worth the price of entry.
get you in the end. And I'm gonna get you, my friend. I know you, my...
All right, friends. Today's first Philadelphia report comes to us from the city of Philadelphia, where field correspondent Benjamin Camp filed this report under some duress, owing to some skullduggery of which he has recently been the victim. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Sam. This is Ben with your Philadelphia report. Some sad news from Philadelphia today. It turns out that crime has not ceased to exist, and that some punk has stolen my car. My car's name is Mr. Smith. It's a dark green Honda Accord. It's got the front left headlight thing is broken. So if you see that, just give me a call. I had parked it at 9 o'clock. I went back to get in the car to pick up my lovely wife from the train station, only to discover that it was not where I left it. So thinking that I was a crazy person, I walked around the block, nowhere to be found. I called the towing companies nearby, nowhere to be found. I called the parking authority. And then I just stood on the street and kind of stared at the space where it was and tried to figure out what happens then. Because in the movies, it's often very exciting. And in actual life, it's not very exciting at all. So I called 911, but I wasn't sure if that was the number to call. So I was like, hi, I'm so sorry to call you. My name is Ben. I'm not sure if this is the right number. My car was stolen. Because, you know, you don't want to bother the 911 operators if that's not the right. Anyway, it was the right number. And they sent a police car with a police, two policemen, well, a man and a woman. They were very kind. And they said, yep, happens all the time. And they filled out 25 minutes of paperwork, which the men didn't look so excited about. And apparently, here's some things I didn't know. More often than not, stolen cars are recovered because people steal them, joyride them until they run out of gas and they abandon them somewhere. So they often get recovered and brought back in various shapes of disrepair. So I didn't know that because I, you know, when I think car thief, I think somebody's stealing a car and then they're going to sell it and they're going to make mad bank because that's what I did in Grand Theft Auto and it was super sweet. But actually, no, you wouldn't make any bank off my car. It's a 97 Honda Accord in terrible shape. So obviously, I mean, right around where my car was parked, there were nicer cars to steal. Anyway, so we'll see if we get it back. Maybe a couple exits from now, I'll let you know how that goes. I am, for the record, driving a sweet rental car, thanks to my insurance. It's much nicer than my actual car. So that's the unfortunately stereotypical report from Philadelphia. Hopefully, I'll let you know in the coming weeks that it's been recovered and repaired and that everything is wonderful. Philadelphia, signing out.
Friends, I'm sure I don't have to tell you how much it means to us here at Stuck Between Studios that our field correspondents are so dedicated to their jobs that they file their reports, even at the risk of not locating their stolen 1997 Honda Accords. So I think it would be greatly appreciated by Ben Camp, as well as everyone of your fellow travelers here on the road to Shambhala, if you would all think some good thoughts for Mr. Smith. That's Ben's car, not Alan Smith, who you're going to be hearing from in just a moment. But should you see any hooligans, any layabouts, any suspicious characters freewheeling down your local avenues in a 1997 Honda Accord missing the left front headlight, please do the right thing and contact the Road to Shambhala Crime Unit, Automobile Theft Division, at shambhalaradio@gmail.com. We'll pass your message along to the proper authorities. More importantly, however, if you have any words of wisdom, if you too have been the victim of Grand Theft Auto, not the video game version, but the actual event wherein an automobile is pilfered from the very streets upon which we live and work, you should send these words of wisdom to the Correspondent Sympathy Division right here at Stuck Between Studios, coincidentally has the exact same email address, shambhalaradio@gmail.com. We'll make sure it gets filed properly. Thank you for your concern, and stay vigilant out there. Our guest artist this week, ladies and gentlemen, is the amazing singer-songwriter Fiona Landers.
Fucked over and spent, wasting money on the rent, when we could be so happy in a box for two on some avenue. And we'd be so fun, I'd be yours and you'd be mine, naturally, but we'll wait and see, because the thing about you and me is we ain't really anything but friends. And I wish you would just forget about the silly deal that you got on your sublet. I wish you felt the way I feel. Friends, oh, if I could change that, I would. If I could face that, you know that I should. Oh, if only my dreams only turned out so good. But I can't hold on to anything. No, I can't hold on to anything. And I think you and me should share a kitchen and a sink. I know you don't give a damn about what I think. 'Cause the thing about you and me is we ain't really anything but friends. And it's a misery thing, this mystery we're living in. I'm just a hopeful girl trying to make it in a hopeless world. When you tell me that we're only friends, oh, if I could change that, I would. If I could face that, you know that I should. If only my dreams only worked out so good, but I can't hold on to anything. No, I can't hold on to anything. But please charm me, alarm me, take me, make me yours. And like I said before, I adore you so truly that I wanna be your roommate, boy. I wanna share the same fucking key. Oh, you'd be the sweetest goddamn roommate, boy. Oh, won't you live with me? Or else we'll still be fine.
That's Fiona Landers on the road to Shambhala. You can check her out at fionalanders.com, which you should do while you're listening to the rest of this episode, which will continue in a moment. All right, everybody. We are here for another installment of Alan Smith, bearer of the mantle of justice. Alan is the proponent of a wide variety of excellent progressive causes. Most recently, he served as the communications director for the Mark Winston Griffith for City Council campaign in Central Brooklyn.
Did not turn out the way we hoped. We lost the primary, the Democratic primary election, by 600 votes.
Which is a real heartbreaker. But, if I may say, because I witnessed you through many late nights during this process, the loss was not for want of extreme dedication and effort on your part.
Although, yeah. I will say, the campaign goes on, and we are still running against the incumbent in the general election.
Yeah.
So, the progressive cause took a blow. But it's not dead yet in Central Brooklyn.
Amen. Amen. So the only reason I bring that up is not to rub salt in your wounds.
Too soon.
But rather to say that the thing I think is amazing about the Alan Smith, and the reason he's the bearer of the mantle of justice, is that rather than rolling over and dying, what you've instead done is to take on another long shot political cause, as though it were your own. And this is the Young Invincibles project.
The day this program airs, which will be Tuesday the 13th.
Presuming I get everything edited in time, but yes.
We'll call that a win. We'll pencil it in for a win.
Yeah.
Presuming this goes up on Tuesday the 13th, we will be on the day of the Young Invincibles grand launch.
So, Young Invincibles, for people who don't know, what's the deal?
Young Invincibles is actually a relatively derogatory name given to age group between 18 and 35. Everyone in America right now between ages of 18 and 35 is classified as a young invincible, which means most of us take this risk where we say, hey, you know what? I am mostly healthy. I'm probably not going to get hit by a bus. So I'm going to gamble and say I don't need health insurance. I just think back to last summer when I was coming out of a friend's apartment. I ran down the steps. I jumped with glee.
Oh, I remember this.
And slammed my forehead into his metal awning.
Oh, yeah.
The awning didn't give at all. Surprising news.
Well,
and I
awning.
Took a big chunk out of the top of my head. And, you know, I was concussed.
Yeah. Well, as I remember, your only recourse at that point was to say to Caitlin, who is your friend's girlfriend, hey, you're a medical student. Take a look at this. I'm probably okay, right?
And, you know, we did the 60-40 on it and decided that I didn't need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Had I been insured, I would have gone to the hospital.
Of course.
And I would have gone and gotten stitches and had someone look at it and just not taken that risk.
In addition to yourself and myself for many months when I was a taxi cab driver.
Yeah, I mean, you were doing, realistically, you know, it maybe wasn't up there with, like, what's that show about the truck drivers or the people?
Oh,
who,
ice road truckers?
Ice road truckers or the deep sea fishermen. But that's one of the more dangerous jobs you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
In
yeah.
America. I mean, you're combining relentless monotony with high speed reflexes and New York traffic. It's
yeah.
like.
Yeah, 12 hour shifts and getting rammed from behind by garbage trucks, which happened to me. I got the door of my cab sheared off by a city bus. Alan is silently crossing himself. but then, you know, there's Dana, who's been on the program previously, Garrett, who's a co-host for the Vital Topics segment. These are all people who are not layabouts. They're just people who are working very hard in freelance-oriented fields, often for either progressive change or working for small businesses that are just getting going, in the cases of Dana and Garrett in particular.
And that's the thing about the Young Invincible cohort is, like, we are people who have just graduated from school, or maybe we're still in school.
Sure.
We're doing part-time education. We haven't fully acclimated into the job market, if we're ever going to, because I think that there is a, especially in New York City, but across the country, there's this new ethos of freelancer work.
Absolutely.
Which is, like, not in the traditional structure, not going to have a employer, quote unquote,
yep.
that gives you, you know, full access to employer-based insurance. So I think that there's a group of us who have been silent in the whole healthcare reform debate thus far,
right?
Who are really outside the boundaries of what is currently considered easily insurable.
Yeah, yeah. So the goal of the Young Invincibles
change all of that.
Yeah.
Change all of that to give this cohort, this group of folks, a voice in the healthcare reform debate that's happening right now.
Yeah, we're talking about, as you said, more than 14 million people
yeah.
who are not complacent, but rather just don't have a good option.
And this is, you know, this is very specific policy stuff. This is like jumping the age that you can stay on your parents' health insurance to 26, which is
gotcha.
If that were federally federal plan, you're talking about 7 million of that 14.4 million would have a real option of staying insured for that really tricky period of post college and all that stuff. You know, real tangible stuff to try to knock out big chunks of the uninsured. Ideally, everything is based on having a strong public option.
The fire department comes out of my taxes. The police department comes out of my taxes. I don't think twice. If my house catches on fire, I don't go, I don't know. I don't have fireman insurance.
There is this conception of a basic human right that is safety and property.
Right.
We have these ideas that property is a basic inalienable human right in this capitalist society. That's like, what's mine is mine. And if you take it from me, you have to pay for that.
Right.
There's not that for health insurance.
Right.
Which is fundamentally flawed.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand why nobody is making that as an argument to the people who are, like, you know, jumping up and down, screaming left and right about this is trampling all over the Constitution. This is about adding to your civil rights, not taking them away. So Young Invincibles is about institutional support for the public option, by which I guess I mean Young Invincibles as an institution, in general support of the public option, but then kind of common sense aspects that you'd like to see in whatever legislation and reform finally gets passed.
I mean, if you're going for birth control, if you're going for any kind of, you know, anything that has to do with sexual health,
right,
is assumed out of pocket.
Right.
Because, you know, even if we are insured, people like you and I, we're on these nasty high deductible things, which says basically you're paying everything out of pocket.
Right.
So what we have to do is we have to figure out a way so that those costs, the costs that I'm paying every month for my inhaler, the costs that you're paying every month for birth control, that you're paying every month for these things that have become part of our lives in a very real and serious way,
right,
are added into your cost of health insurance.
Yeah.
When I calculate my health insurance now, I'm not just calculating it based on the thing that I'm paying to the freelancers union for my premium. I'm also calculating it on the monthly cost of my medicine and the other things. And there's a lot of discrimination against folks who, I mean, sexual discrimination is a big one.
Right.
But then there are other discriminations against people who have chronic conditions that are on these Young Invincible plans, and we really need to get, by Young Invincible plan, I mean on these plans that are very high deductible.
Yeah, crazy COBRA extensions.
Super duper plans that are basically like, as long as I mean, the plans are really good for one thing, which is if I get hit by a bus, I will not bankrupt my parents.
Exactly, exactly. So what you're basically saying is this 14 million pool of people are the people who, if the plan is constructed in a way such that it makes good sense for us to buy it, we're all going to do it. And that's going to put us in a place where this reform does what it wants to. It cuts costs. It addresses universal needs. And it becomes a viable option. You know, in a way, you know, our generation will kind of set the example for future generations in saying, look, this investment in your own well-being is worth it.
There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of organizations doing really good advocacy work for, say, the 55 to 65 age group.
Sure.
Who are
as
going
well
through,
there should be. As well
absolutely.
There should be.
Who are going through the same legislation we are, picking out the same numbers that we are, and trying to get things in their favor.
Right.
We're just trying to add one voice against that towards the people who are being really, I think, completely criminally left out of this bill.
And a voice which, up to this point, has not really been part of the conversation.
Not at all.
Even in previous healthcare reform efforts.
Potentially, if we do our job right, people are going to sit up and take notice. It's really close. It's really close. And I think we need something that's not that intense to push us over the edge.
So the goal is to say,
to put a face on the campaign. Because I think that names on a page only gets you so far.
Right. And to say, like, this is not an issue that we're just going to allow to go by. This is going to be a make or break thing for our generation, and we'd like to know where you stand and if you're willing to take a stand on our behalf,
because, you know, we're going to be voting for a long time.
All right. Well, that is that's about all the time we have for Alan Smith, bearer of the mantle of justice. This his latest crusade is Young Invincibles, yiwantchange.org, which will be on the website. So you should go there and check it out and photograph yourself flashing the,
gang symbol of righteousness.
The gang symbol of justice. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Alan Smith.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We'll be back in a moment. And now for the search for delicious. So, Lou, you had kind of a crazy experience last night.
I did. Last night was my friend Maggie's birthday party, and there was this guy there named Tony, a bespectacled man in a little suit. He was very friendly. He was drinking Jameson. And then at one point, Maggie said, "Oh, Tony, do you have any cards?" And he whipped out a deck of cards, and I was sitting next to him, and I was like, "Do you just always have cards on you? That's amazing." And he said, well, I'm a magician. And then he proceeded to do all these different card tricks, and they were just, I've never seen anything like it. This guy was seriously skilled. So, night goes on, blah, 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 blah. About an hour later, I come back and happen to be sitting next to Tony again. And we start talking about trickery and deception and all this stuff. And then he said, "You know, can I try something on you? I haven't done it a lot, but I'm just sort of practicing." And I said, "Oh, sure, absolutely." And so he handed me a little, just like a little blank card, a little blank business card.
Uh-huh.
And he handed me a pen. And he said, "What I want you to do is think of something. Think of an object or a little drawing, like, you know, the moon. Just think of that and draw a little picture of it and let me know when you're done." So I thought for a second, what should I draw? And for some reason, my dad's teddy bear popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen this thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like this very nostalgic little stuffed animal. It's really old. It's velveteen.
Mm-hmm.
It's fallen apart so many times from him loving it and then me loving it. And it's ripped at the crotch and it pees out sawdust and it's been stitched up many times. And it's just this mess of a thing. So I draw a picture of classic teddy bear, kind of like big circle for the belly, little circle for the head, little circle for ears, little circle for arms. And then I said, "Okay, I'm done." And he turns back around. He could not, absolutely at that point, could not. We're in a dark bar. I have it close to me.
And he was facing away from you.
He was facing totally away from me. So he says, "Okay, put it in my wallet face down."
Okay.
And he had this little like pocket you'd slide credit cards into.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So I slide it into that face down. He closes the wallet, puts it away. Then he says, "Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions. And I want you to think about the answer. But don't say it out loud. Just think it."
Okay.
First question. Is this thing, this object, this drawing, is it dead or is it alive? And I sort of paused for a second. And in my head, I was thinking, well, calling it dead isn't quite right. It's
right.
Not a dead thing, but it's definitely not alive. And he's like, "Okay, I feel like it's somewhere between dead and alive."
Whoa.
Yeah, it was like, and okay, maybe that's not that hard to read because I paused for a long time and I was smiling to myself. So clearly
yeah,
I was mulling something over. Mm-hmm. But he was immediately like, "I sense that you're having trouble deciding whether it's dead or alive, but maybe it's less alive." Okay, and so he proceeded to go on. He asked tons of questions. Is it a really big object or is it a really small object?
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point he said, "Is it attached to a really fond memory?" And I must have just cracked a big smile. And he's like, "No, mm-hmm. Come on. Just keep your face straight and think the answer."
And, so and the whole time he's asking you these questions, you haven't verbally answered any of
them. Nothing. And after about 5 minutes of this, he was like, "Okay, I think I've got it." And he took out a little card. Drew something,
mm-hmm.
and then he turned it over so I couldn't see what it was, and he passed it along the table to me. And I had this eerie moment where I was like, "Oh my God, he totally got it right." Or wait, maybe he totally got it wrong. This is just going to be so embarrassing because he's like just learning how to do it, and I'm going to have to let him down easy. And I took the card, I turned it over, and my heart sunk. The sound filtered out, the universe started spinning. He drew a teddy bear. So my first thought Well, he absolutely must have seen me draw it.
Right.
But the reason I was spooked is because on this card is a teddy bear with stitches down its stomach. On my drawing of the teddy bear, I did not draw the stitches.
You consciously left them out.
Or just like, I didn't happen to draw it. I was just right. drawing an easy teddy bear.
But in your mind, the stitches are a big part of
a
that bear.
A huge part. I was so spooked. I was raised hardcore atheist. There is no magic in the world. There is no fate. There is no destiny. There is no God. There is nothing. And that's just the earth we inhabit.
Like everything can be explained.
Everything. Now as I grow up and roam the earth, I look for scrapes of magic and coincidence that tickle my fancy, but in my heart of hearts, do not believe it. So I looked at Tony, and rushing through my head, they're like, okay, it's probably a coincidence that he drew the stitches. I'm making too much out of this, except I just turned to him and I was like, you hold in your head the answer to my entire life's question. Like, there's amorphous times in your life where you think things are coincidence and you think things are magic and you're not sure and you can never get to the bottom of it because there's no easy answer. But here was a situation where you literally have the answer. Tell me? Oh my God, tell me. And he looked at me and he was like, okay, but first let me ask you, do you really want to know?
I saw it on the portico. I saw it in the park. I know you feel the same for me. So I'll open up my arms. I won't do you any harm. So please let me know how you feel. I promise I will wait for you.
Our other Philadelphia report today comes to us from Chicago, where correspondent Neil Dondati recently telephoned me, as is his wont, at 3 o'clock a.m. I was at that point waging what would be a successful campaign for mayor of Dreamland. However, fortunately, he left a message.
It's like this and like that and like this and it's like this and like that and like this and a couple of things I want to say, do it on the mic, yeah. Do it in the car or do it on a bike. Those are two of the four means of transportation. Maybe I would take the train or walk. We live in the same nation. That's right. We live in the urban area. I'm like the fucker scaring ya. Yeah, that's right. Halloween coming up on 31st. Do this biscuit limp like Fred Durst. Nah, bullshit, yo. I don't do that. All I gotta say is that I got the brim on the bat and like the rat, yo. We be a pack, oh. Shit, everyone knows we got the knack, and yo, my Sharona in a Rover and a Doma. Yo, don't worry, Home Alone, yeah. Macaulay Culkin, everyone's soaking, but nobody realized the beatbox is broken, balking like a grease man. I'm a beast man. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I'm a niece can. That is right, yo, niece in the can. Everybody wants to say that I don't drive a van, but that is not true. I drive a hatchback. I drive a van, but I don't call it because I don't mind that it lacks space. Yo, I do it like a race. And if you want to punch me, I request it in the face because I need to wake up. I need a little shake up. I need to change my face, put a lot of makeup on. It's Braun, yo. It's Braun. Everybody says that I am wonton noodles, kitten caboodles. Don't worry, me and 13 of my best poodles. Of course, I mean friends with the girly hair. Everybody knows Sam Ding Man's derriere is like awesome, yo. Pretty cool, yo. I'm like Blossom. Oh, Joey Lawrence know the okay. I'm driving in the car, so I gotta go like I'm Roseanne with the bar and Tom Arnold, man. That's who I'm married to. Everyone wants to say that I was carried to. That's pretty disgusting, because I don't like other people's germs. Don't worry, get a perm, yo, I gotta go, but the flow don't stop. Everybody knows that I don't respect the cops. Unless they keep the peace in the village. Until then, goodbye.
Left me in the middle of the road. And I don't wanna be alone.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really excited to see what Boswell has recorded for us this week. The letter that he enclosed with the cassette tape indicated that he was very, very excited about what he'd come up with. So let's see what he's got.
Hello, this is G.T. Boswell on the road to Shambhala. Did you know that Guglielmo Marconi invented the radio? I always thought it was Thomas Edison. I think he invented everything else, I guess. Now is the time of year when the seasons change. Have you seen the leaves change color? I have done that. Here is a poem I wrote about the fall. Every year it comes around. All the leaves are falling down. What is the name that we should call? I have an idea. Let's call it fall. I may not be a good poet like David Frost, but I do like to write a lilting rhyme now and then. I hope you will have a nice fall. This is G.T. Boswell. Good night and good luck.
So this brings us to the end of Exit 3 on the road to Shambhala, friends. I will have to leave you to sleep alone for right now, as I go to sleep alone, as it's 6:20 a.m. and I've just finished editing the podcast. But, as I promised Alan Smith, we got it done under deadline and also underslept. Heyo! So, first, a very important thanks to Mr. Nat Cassidy, who is the person who provided the incredible music that you heard between each segment on this episode. In addition to being a fantastic musician, he is also one of the nicest guys you could ever hope to meet, an award-winning playwright and actor, and you should check him out at natcassidy.com. Great friend of the Road to Shambhala, and should be a great friend of yours, because I'm sure he would love to be your friend. Also want to thank Ms. Fiona Landers for providing our guest artist contribution this week. Her music is also beautiful, if you can believe that. Two beautiful musicians, one show. Is it really happening? And you can check her out, as I mentioned earlier, at fionalanders.com, and you should do that. I want to thank the Lou for submitting another entry in her search for delicious. I want to thank Ben Camp and Neil Dondotti, and I want to thank my panel of distinguished experts who never fails to distinguish themselves. oh my God. Thanks also to Grover T. Boswell for another weekly dispatch that I'm sure will have us all pondering the points he raised for the next week until we take our next exit on the road to Shambhala. Speaking of which, there's the final, most important thank you, which I'd like to give, which is to all of you for listening to the show. It means the world to me and everybody who works on this show that you are willing to listen to us, and we would love to know what you think at shambhalaradio@gmail.com. Even if you hated it, we will at least read what you write and think it over. But you probably loved it, so nothing to worry about there. Other than that, this show is copyright 2009 Bright Machine Productions, and in the words of the inimitable John Miller and the immortal Dr. Bob Frapples, swing hard in case you hit it, and they're not all going to be home runs. Yeah.
song.